Friends, welcome back. I'm Clayton Pixton with the Impressions of a Prophet podcast, and we're here with Susan Easton Black. How are you, Susan?
I'm doing great. It's wonderful to see you again, Clayton.
Always good to see you, and Susan is here realizing Governor Thomas Ford's worst fears, all his worst fears, aren't you? You're just promoting this nobody Joseph Smith and telling people about these worthless places like Nauvoo and Kirtland, and you even mentioned how he was compared to Pontius Pilate. So,
yep, wouldn't want to be that man in the next life, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I read some other things that kind of, we're not on that today, but as far as his awareness and even possible involvement in the whole martyrdom thing, the Dan Jones guy, the steamboat, right. Member of the church from Wales, he basically warned him that hey, I'm telling you, these guys are not safe, you know, you need to do something. And
yeah,
Thomas Ford said, I assure you, you're overly concerned. And anyway,
it's
we'll
a
talk
story
about that
for another day for sure, but we're getting close starting next time you listen to us.
Yeah. Okay, guys, sorry for me to talk so much. You're not here for that.
Sure they are.
Little bit maybe, but thank you, Susan, you're kind. So today we're going to try a brand new song that has never been heard before. I don't even think my wife's probably heard me like sing it in the background maybe, but it's never been performed. So congratulations, guys. Hope you enjoy. This is called I Know Thou Lovest Me.
As before slumber, I kneel at thy throne, weary and worn I be. At every moment thy mercy has shown, I know thou lovest me. As I partake of the water and bread, in my mind's eye I see thy body broken and thy life blood shed. I know
there you go.
Wow.
All right. We'll do the other two verses I've got for that later. And Susan, today we're going to talk about the greatest women's organization on earth ever, probably.
Hey, I think that. We sure have the big numbers to prove it.
So we're talking about the Relief Society, of course. And that's all I am going to say for introduction. Please, Susan, take it away.
Okay. Today we're talking about the Relief Society and connecting it to an almost forgotten, hidden away garden in Nauvoo that literally is called the Women Memorial Garden in Nauvoo. So as we begin, you may recall, I don't know, it's been a while ago, that we talked about Nauvoo had all kinds of associations. And it's the first time that we saw the beehive on any kind of symbol thing we're seeing in Nauvoo, but they had the bricklayers and had the association, and the big field was for those in agriculture, but there was just one women's organization, and that organization was called the Straw Hat. So this Straw Hat organization was composed only of women, and the others, basically all men, but the Straw Hat organization was one where the women would make hats with the plan they'd send it down to St. Louis and then perhaps even to New Orleans. And they had quite a, what we'd call today, a cottage industry. Well, growing from that Straw Hat Association, part of it was a young woman named Sarah Granger Kimball. And Sarah Granger Kimball, She's fascinating, I think. When she was a young girl, she fell in love with a man much older than her, named Hiram Kimball, and he was not a member of the church, living in Nauvoo, and you can imagine her father, Oliver Granger, is not necessarily excited about her choice, but nevertheless, she goes ahead and she marries this Hiram Kimball, who basically is a businessman in Nauvoo. He owns a port. He's one of the more well-to-do men in the, and actually, to much extent, he's a competitor of the prophet Joseph. And the question then becomes, will Sarah Granger Kimball be faithful as she matures? And my favorite example is that she gives birth to a son. Her husband comes into the room after the child is born, and she says to her husband, Hiram, what do you think my son is worth? And he says, our son is worth $1,000, which back then was like infinity. And she then said to her husband, well, how much do you think I've earned of that $1,000? And having been a mother, I think she earned the whole thing. But Hiram said, well, I think you've earned $500. In other words, you get half. And she said, well, if I get $500, I want to give my $500 towards building the Nauvoo Temple. And her husband laughed, and he thought it was really fun. And one day he saw Joseph Smith on the streets of Nauvoo and basically said, do you want to hear something funny? And he tells that his wife wants to give $500 to the building of your temple. At which point Joseph said, well, I'm going to follow you home, Hiram. And he said, I'll either take your newborn son or I'll take the $500 that your wife wanted to give. So Sarah Granger Kimball, in many respects, she's the largest donor, where you'd say monetarily, to the building of the Nauvoo Temple. So I like this lady. And we're about to learn what she did that literally has changed the world in many respects. So she had an idea. And, you know, sometimes it just takes a small idea. A woman that, lives way out by the pier, you know, that goes out into the Mississippi. And her idea was, as long as we have all these associations in towns, the tailors, the hat makers, the whatever it is, she goes, well, why don't we form a benevolent society? Now, at that point in the United States, every state had benevolent societies and communities, and basically they were composed of more well-to-do women that wanted to do something for the poor. And their headquarters was in Philadelphia, and Sarah had the idea, why don't we form a new association in Nauvoo? We're going to form a chapter of the Benevolent Society. So with that, she invites, some of her friends to her home. And here's her home there in Nauvoo. It's been restored actually by the Relay Society. And she invites them to their home on March 4th, 1842. And for years, even when I was a kid, we used to celebrate the birthday of Relay Society on March 4th instead of March 17th, as we now do. And it was in honor of this Sarah Granger Kimball. So here come her closest friends, and they get together and they talk about, hey, you want to form a benevolent society. Sarah has seen several men walking to the quarry there in Nauvoo, and see some are wearing tattered shirts, and she thinks that the women can step up and make shirts and different things to help out. And they agreed, yes, they want to form a benevolent society, but to be accepted by the main chapter in Philadelphia, you had to write bylaws and a constitution. So it's not just like you say you want to be a part, it has to be a voted in national thing. And so with that, we find that she now turns to Eliza R. Snow. And Eliza R. Snow, well, I think she is brilliant. I mean, if you were to take not just her poems, but her entire body of work, it's like 1,600 pages. She has a regular space in the local newspaper. And so she is a writer, and she's not part of this original March 4th group, But she's asked, could she write the Constitution bylaws? And Eliza likes the idea, and she writes the Constitution, and she shows it to Joseph Smith. And according to Eliza, I never found that Joseph said this, but Joseph said back to Eliza, that's the best Constitution I've ever read. And it makes you wonder, you know, what's Jefferson and others doing? You know, where was Eliza? But Joseph then said something, you know, very profound. And what he said was, I will organize the women under the priesthood after the pattern of the priesthood. In other words, you women, you don't have to go out there and join a benevolent society and be a far-flung chapter out there in Nauvoo, Illinois. But Joseph's plan was he would organize the women under the priesthood after the pattern of the priesthood. And so with that, it makes it the most unusual association then in Nauvoo. Joseph will then set aside and ask Eliza to tell all the women, including Sarah Granger Kimball, come to my brick store. In other words, get out of my competitor's house where he's got, you know, the port kind of thing, just like Joseph. And he says, come to the Red Brick Store and come on March 17th, 1842. And that's been the time we've celebrated Relief Society during most of my days. So as the women came, we know that they had some options. One, they could stop in the downstairs, and that's where Joseph sold a variety of goods. But we know that 20 women made it upstairs to form the Relief Society. But I've always wondered how many really went and then, you know, were shopaholics and ended up downstairs in the store. But for the 20 women, they now go up to the second floor. And the second floor, very sacred space. The first endowments there, translation Book of Abraham, Articles of Faith. For ceilings, and on March 17th, 20 women ranging in age from 59 to 18 will be in a room that looks similar to this. Joseph Smith is there, and he determined then they would form this society then after the priesthood and under the priesthood. And notice the name of the society was the Female Relief Society of Nauvoo. It's a much longer name than just Relief Society, but it was called in 42 the Female Relief Society of Nauvoo. On that March 17th date, in this upstairs room then, her one that looks similar, Emma will be selected, and she's actually elected to be the president of this Female Relief Society. I've always thought it interesting that no woman ran against her. I mean, could you see someone saying, well, you know, she's got enough on her plate. You know, I've been in her house. It's just not clean. Her kids are, you know. But no one runs against Emma. And I think it has to be one of the finest days for women. Emma is elected. And Joseph Smith indicates to her afterwards that remember that July, you know, of 1830, Revelation section 25, where she's told an elect lady. Joseph will say that this was it, that the elect lady has everything to do with she's been elected by her peers to be president. Emma will then have the right to select her counselors who are not elected. So you see Emma there, the woman in the middle, is Sarah Cleveland. And what I like about her selection, you know, sometimes, you know, you select people that, you know, you can walk all over. And other times you select leaders and you'd say, well, what appears to be the basis that Emma selected these women? And you'd say, Sarah Cleveland in the middle. When Emma crossed the Mississippi River, and remember she had her dress and manuscript in her dress and carrying two babies and two kids by her side, Sarah Cleveland was the one that took her into her home. And then you'd say the woman on the far side, Elizabeth Whitney, is Newell K. Whitney's wife. And when Joseph and Emma came to Kirtland then you get this Elizabeth Whitney will take into her home, Emma. And I like how she chose her counselors because she knew that both women were charitable. As eventually you get Relief Society, the purpose, you know, is charity. You know, what, charity
wasn't
never fails.
Based on well-spokenness or a strong,
yeah. I don't know, you'd say, oh man, they're academics or this and that. And you go, no, you know. And, you know, when you live with someone, you really know what the person is like and that compassion. I think that was such a good choice. Well, okay. You'd say Emma will select as her secretary Eliza R. Snow. And, you know, a secretary can make or break you. And, wow, Eliza, I don't know if she shut her eyes during the prayer. We'll keep going, but you're going to see the impact of what happened as a result of these Relay Society meetings. We're going to find that in Nauvoo, that women never taught women. So women teaching women didn't happen until you got into the Rockies. And my favorite story goes to Eliza R. Snow. She's down in a place called Beaver, Utah. For any of you that have been there, it's basically a stop at Wendy's and then keep going, you know. But my favorite story is in Beaver, where Eliza's organizing Relay Society in that area. And she's telling the women, hey, you're going to teach each other. And some of the women raise their hand and they say, well, I know how to slop hogs. I know how to, you know, do the vegetable garden. I can make curtains. And Eliza says, yeah, and they go, well, that's it. And Eliza then says, well, teach that until you learn something. So, you know, Eliza was pretty tough. But in Nauvoo.
Meaning, I don't get that.
Okay, teach. So it means here were these women. They knew a lot of domestic things, but Eliza wanted them to learn a lot more other things.
Okay, and yeah, to the mind.
Get your mind going, ladies. Don't just, you know, don't just do the labor things of the hands.
Good.
So in Nauvoo, if men are going to teach women, you know, I think, boy, did they have great teachers. I wouldn't have mind these people teaching me. So Joseph Smith was one of their teachers. John Taylor was a teacher, and Willard Richards was a teacher. And the interesting thing, because Eliza R. Snow was a secretary and she's taking notes, we actually have more words that Joseph said in Relay Society than we have of his speaking to the 12, the 70s, you know, general conference. And let's say that you're reading words of Joseph and you want to know, was it given at Relay Society? And there are kind of two themes that always come through. One is, he says, women, bridle your tongues. I'm for sure he's talking about gossip, you know. So, you know, I think we could all but, you know, he talks about a myriad topics, but eventually women, bridle your tongues. And then another one that he talks about is women, provoke your husbands. And I go, oh, my gosh, I'm a queen on that. But then he gives a couplet. Provoke your husbands to righteousness. And you're like, okay, you know, get them out the door so they can do the ministering, what they should be doing. But they are the teachers. And then when it comes to where do they go from here, you'd say, when you go to Relay Society, women back then, instead of carrying purses where I can lose, you know, my glasses just instantly, right, is they would carry baskets. And when you went to Relay Society, like going to Zion, you would always go up, no matter the geographic location. And so after they were taught, the women would come forward and empty their baskets. And you would never put anything in your basket you weren't willing to give to the poor. And so some would come with pretty empty baskets. You know, some had a couple of buttons to give or a couple of pennies. Others, you know, had shoes or clothes, and they would give them to Emma. Then once Relay Society is over with their empty baskets, they would go knock on doors in their local wards. And this becomes our first hiding out of the ministers, you know, the old visiting teachers, because you knew they hadn't come with a magnet or a something rolled up fancy, you know. What they'd come is to ask you what you had you'd like them to take to Emma to give to the poor. And Emma found that so much stuff was given as they went, not only from the women who were Relief Society members, but from those in their local wards, that she had something amazing to say. She said, "This society is going to do something extraordinary." You know, she sees this coming in. And then in her 19th century mind, she tries to figure out, well, what's extraordinary? And she goes, well, for example, when a steamboat comes up the Mississippi River and gets stuck on the sandbars, she says, the women are going to go in and they're going to lift it out and pull it to the shore. And I think, oh my, those women must have been really buffed. I personally don't know any woman that could possibly do that. But it was, you know, her way of saying, we're going to do something extraordinary. I can't really imagine what it is, but I can see this kind of organized power willing to give to those less fortunate. She realizes this is going to be something big. Well, Relief Society in Nauvoo, it's interesting, it lasts exactly 2 years, and then it stops. It doesn't start up again until the really late 1860s in Utah, so you get a real gap. Emma's the president. By March 17, 1844, she announces it's over. And you can tell she's getting close to the martyrdom, right?
And what was that, why did that happen then?
I think things are tough for her. You begin to see in the minutes by Eliza R. Snow that Emma comes to Relief Society the first, I don't know, almost 8 months, and then you don't see her until her last, it's over. And I think you get in the prayers, you know, pray for Emma. And I think by this point, Emma now knows something about plural marriage and is not happy. In other words, who is she looking at as she looks at some of these Relief Society sisters? So for whatever reason, Emma now stops what at one point had brought her great joy and an opportunity to give greater service by kind of so many people pitching in to help.
I see.
Okay, with that, we now move on to, well, how do you remember the Relief Society in Nauvoo? In other words, here we are, you know, so strong with millions and millions of us. Obviously, there's going to be an effort to remember the Relief Society and where it had started at the Red Brick Store. So the first remembrances, we now do are kind of like my attempt to do World Civ, right? As I zoom forward. But we get no remembrance from 1844 until 1933. You know, you're like, wow, 90 plus years. And the Relief Society decided, you know what, we should put a monument back in Nauvoo to commemorate where it all began in that red brick store. And this is the look of the monument. It was put in, and it was put in on property by this point that's owned by the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Well, okay, from the small monument, as years now pass, we look to this woman named Belle Spafford. She was a General Relief Society president for about 27 years. she really put in her dues. My favorite story on Belle Spafford is one time she has an appointment with a prophet, and she's coming in, and this prophet was David O. McKay, and he had a walker, and very difficult for him to stand up. And one of his counselors said, oh, you don't need to stand up. In other words, you don't need to use that energy. He said, it's just Belle Spafford, you know, somebody we see all the time. And President McKay said, I would be a poor man indeed if I didn't stand for that woman. So, all right. So here's this Belle Spafford. She's the president then of the Relief Society. And she now wants to share with the president of the church, we got a problem. this monument we put up in Nauvoo that had a cement background, and everything is cracking and crumbling, and, you know, it just doesn't look good. She says, we need to do something, you know, about it. And then adding to the issue, the RLDS Church had now read the small print on the plaque, and the small print on the plaque of this 1933 statue not only extols the greatness of the Relay Society, but also the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And suddenly the RLDS are like, hey, we don't want this anymore on our site. And eventually they'll rebuild on that site the red brick store. So with that, you get their president, Israel Smith, by 1952, is saying, hey, you know, you got to move it. And the question is, where? So where they move this little monument, they move it to where the Nauvoo, rebuilt Nauvoo Temple now stands. And it's placed up by where they had some, you know, plaques about section 124 in the Doctrine and Covenants that was received in Nauvoo. And you could see a little replica of the temple, and you could then see this also monument for women. Well, all right, time now passes. Replacing Sister Spafford as the General Relief Society president is this Barbara B. Smith. The prophet at the time was Spencer W. Kimball. Spencer W. Kimball said to Barbara B. Smith, are you satisfied with the monument there to honor the Relay Society, which is becoming more well-known, starting to spread through the world? And, you know, are you satisfied with it? I hear, you know, it's, you know, there's some problems. So Barbara B. Smith had an idea. And are you getting this? You know, have an idea, share it with the right person. She shares it with this woman named Florence Hansen. And she says, can you make, who's a sculptor person, right? Can you make a sculpture about women that I could, you know, miniature, that I could take back and show Spencer W. Kimball? Well, she makes this one. She makes, you know, remember it's smaller, that's called Teaching with Love. And so Barbara B. Smith then shows this to Spencer W. Kimball, and he goes, well, are you talking about the role of the women? Does this really depict the entire role of a woman? And Barbara said no. Well, this led to a selection committee to try and figure out how can we best honor women in the Relay Society in Nauvoo, and the committee is formed in 1955. Heading that committee will be a man that you and I have known and loved, right, Clayton? But then Elder Thomas S. Monson. At this point, artists like Florence Hansen are invited to come forward and to bring forward their ideas for the selection committee to consider. The idea that caught the imagination, the fancy of the selection committee was presented by Dennis Smith. And he was already a renowned sculptor. He had an amazing idea. And the idea was, let's do the woman's journey. And let's put it in a garden setting. Let's do, I don't know, brick walkways, statues throughout. And at that time, it literally would be the largest monument, meaning the flowers, the bricks, everything are part of the monument, would be the largest monument to honor womanhood in the entire world. And I don't know, the church always forward big thinking. And suddenly they're like, okay, Dennis, we like your idea. With that, they commissioned him to do 12 statues in 2 years, with a planned completion date, March 1977. Well, Florence Hansen will join him on a couple of statues. But now the question is, how do we do this? We've got to raise funds. And so kind of a mock-up statue of the Women of Virtue. This was put into a poster, and it was placed on Relief Society walls and wards and stakes throughout the church. And it's the 1970s. And you could contribute funds And how you would do it, you could contribute it in the name of yourself or an ancestor. I remember thinking I kicked in $5 for a pioneer ancestor and assumed everybody else did the same, but obviously more people put in more money, and soon funds are raised. Now, notice in Nauvoo, since the Saints left in the 1840s, there's only been two church-wide funded projects. One is the one that occurred back in the 2000s, late 90s, is the building of the Nauvoo Temple. The entire church was invited to participate in that. Then the other is the Woman's Garden. Okay? So everything is moving along, and then there was another statue added. By the time Dennis Smith, Florence Hansen have mock-ups of their 12 statues, and what do you think? Barbara takes them to Spencer W. Kimball, and Kimball looks over him and he says, "Where's Joseph?" And you go, "Wait a minute, it's a woman's garden." And he's saying, "Where's Joseph?" And the reason is because as you go through Nauvoo, Nauvoo is the largest landmass dedicated to any one man. You can find in every script, whether it's the bakery or, you know, the gun shop, you know, we remember, like, say, Jonathan Browning and the repeating rifle, and we dedicate this in the memory of Joseph Smith. And so he wants Joseph, and the statue they're doing, Joseph's giving Emma money, and my husband says, "I like this statue best," and he's giving her a $2 gold piece, and he says to her, "Everything I have for the poor, I give to this society." So you get the idea of the society, we're pulling it back together. Well, okay. So the Women's Garden. Any of you traveling to Nauvoo, it's so tucked away you might miss it. But ask people if you can't find it. It's by the old visitor center, because I truly think it's just amazing. And for most of you, you're going to feel like you're walking into a Norman Rockwell painting of years past and go, "I can't relate to this. My mother, my grandmother relates to this." But I think you'll find by the end, you'll go, "I get it." All right. So as you walk into this garden, the first thing you're going to see is a Relief Society monument. It's finally got a new home and it's now in the garden. The next thing you see as you walk along these little brick paths is you see everything is done in circles. So it's circles of bricks, flowers, and so forth around. And you see a woman, if I were teaching, say, young women, teenagers, I'd say, "Oh, I want to show you this," you know, whether it's slides or, you know, or just kind of talk about what does this mean. But each one of these statues has a scriptural verse, either from Proverbs or Ecclesiastes. So this is the woman in virtue, and it's like she has a supporting cast. So if I were teaching young women, I'd say, "Well, here's what I would like for you. If I had my wish come true, a woman of virtue, and you would have as a supporting cast, you would also be a woman in learning." In other words, you know, don't stop learning. There's always a reason. You'd be a woman in learning. You'd be compassionate like Emma and her counselors. You'd want to care for the poor. You'd learn how to do that as a kid. You'd bake cookies for your neighbors. You know, take care of, you know, dogs, cats of neighbors. Don't take money this time. Okay. You'd also be a woman in prayer. You know, before you go to take a test, you know, before you're, you know, some date or something, be a woman in prayer. Remember who you are. Act the part. And then also be a woman who has many talents. So when someone says, "Can you sew?" you go, "Yes." "Well, what about the piano?" "Sure." You know, "Can you sing?" You know, in other words, develop your talents. Well, once you pass the big circle of one, you come to the entrance of the second circle, and you begin to realize this monument that's so incredibly large, it covers 2 acres, that this monument is a progression in life. So you pass from young women's, and it's the ideal. And you'll notice the look we all wore in the 70s. I think you missed it, Clayton, but, you know, I was there. Okay, so.
I was there. I was young, though.
Oh, you're young. Okay. So notice it's courtship. And it's not just courtship, it's courtship for eternity. So he looks at this woman and he thinks, oh my gosh, she is so drop-dead gorgeous. And she looks at him, he's a priesthood man. You know, I think it's going to work for us. And then they enter the next circle. And the centerpiece in this circle is the woman with her children. And notice what it's called. It's called Joyful Moment. In other words, it isn't all about, you know, take out the trash, eat the food. When do I pick you up at the soccer game? I mean, you know, have some joy along the way. And then she also has a supporting cast like the young woman in Virtue. So I like this one. You'll notice the woman still with puffy sleeves. She can't do everything, so she cuts her hair. And you start to see, so what happens once you're married and here come the kids? And this one's called In the Family Circle. And I like this. You get mom and a little girl that's moving her way to her dad. And I think that's pretty great. That's a supporting cast. And then you look and you say, well, still in that same circle. You see the young daughter is so impressed with her mom that she wants to walk in her footsteps. I like that. And then you see that she is preparing your son, you know, for manhood, for priesthood. And then last but not least, she's teaching with love. In other words, she's not leaving all the teaching to the public school. She wants to share her talents that she developed when she was young with her daughter so that she can have a more fulfilled life. From there, you move on to the next circle. And the next circle is called Women in Fulfillment. And I fear I'm moving towards that one, Clayton. So you get this woman, she's in a rocking chair, and obviously she's quilting. But notice it isn't just quilting, doing patches and squares and birds. She's doing the eternal ring. And the scripture is, her husband will call her blessed and her children too. In other words, she looks back over her life, and no matter, you know, the path she's taken, as she looks back over, she feels a sense of fulfillment. In other words, I am happy with my days. And anyway, so these now, as they're going into play, she'd say, well, where's Joseph and Emma? And their statue then is right at the front before you're going to enter then that visitor center. Well, okay, from there, we move on to It's About to Be Dedicated. And you can imagine that the Relief Society really wanted it dedicated on March 17th. I mean, that's our day. It's happy birthday. It's happy birthday all over the world. And I find it so interesting that the artist couldn't push it forward. You know, you can't put a time limit on creativity, right? I mean, we can both say that. So they're slower and you know, you got different problems. You know, does everything work? You know, are flowers there? But notice when it's dedicated and the dedicatory events begin, you know, it'll be over a few days. But notice it's June 27th, 1978. And you'd say, oh, wow, it's the martyrdom. When is the temple dedicated? You know, the other fundraising, you know, edifice. And you'd say June 27th, 2002. So when you talk about Nauvoo and done in memory of Joseph, what are they remembering? And the answer is they're remembering the martyrdom and that he sealed his testimony with his blood there in Carthage. So I always thought so interesting the timing of it. Okay, when the statues are now ready to be dedicated, Spencer W. Kimball is still the prophet. Barbara B. Smith is still the Relief Society president, and they come to Nauvoo. And, well, the experience was amazing. You get, it's the first time since Joseph and Emma walked the streets that you have together the president of the church and the president of the General Relief Society. Just as an aside.
You mean in Nauvoo?
Yeah, in Nauvoo. Good, yeah. Thank you. But as an aside, I flew in to represent BYU at this event. And I flew in on a plane and, you know, dignitaries, you know, others were coming in other planes and I was waiting for them. And a man in this small little airport, in Fort Madison came up to me and said, "Hey, I saw you get off the last plane." He goes, "There was somebody on your plane." He goes, "He left a suitcase named Spencer W. Kimball." And he goes, "Do you know the guy?" And I go, "Well, I pray for him. Does that count?" And anyway, he said, "Do you think you could take this to him?" And I go, "Oh, sure." Well, you know, the adventures of trying to find, but there just weren't, there was one hotel in town. And with all the women in the cars, we're all packed in. We go, "We should open it. We would know the right toothpaste to buy, the right deodorant, you know." But it was one of our finest hours as we kept it sealed and eventually got it to him. But okay.
That's cool.
So we get Spencer and Barbara then walking the streets of Nauvoo. The dedicatory prayer was given by Spencer W. Kimball. And in his prayer, he said the following. "Memorialize the great work done by" who? "The prophet Joseph, when he gave the keys to his wife Emma and other sisters and organized them into a world-important functioning organization." And that's what the Relay Society is. So with that, you'd say, like so many imprints of the present, the monument, although 2 acres, you've got trees have grown up all around it. I mean, you could go to the visitor center and not even know it was there. But like so many imprints of the present, this monument, even lost at times to visitors, is largely forgotten, as is the message of the role of the woman. So in the times that we live, we now have a new generation, and they will grapple with other societal issues that threaten the home, much like the Equal Rights Amendment was doing at the time that the monument to women went up. But where do I think they could find some of their answers as they try to figure out where they stand, where they should stand? And for me, I'd say, you know, if you haven't taken the time, few, if any, look today to a forgotten garden nestled in Nauvoo for the answer. They've got benches around. You can't miss. And just kind of look and then get to the one at the end, that fulfillment. Look back and say, "Well, how am I doing?" And perhaps you'll be able to say, "I did pretty good." Or perhaps you'll say, "You know, there are some things I'm going to work on." Well, I've loved talking to everybody about the Relay Society. My mother was a Relay Society president. It goes back generations for me, Clayton. And just
you've served in the Relief Society yourself, have you not?
Long
time. Yeah. My wife has served in the Relief Society. She's serving in the Steak Relief Society right now.
And oh, that's great!
I'll tell you, those they are doing a great work. I just can't say enough of how amazing they are, and I've been blessed with mother and my wife and just amazing daughters and sisters and stuff. And I've just been blessed with so many great, great women and just doing amazing things. I just always hope that they know how great they are and never lose sight of that.
Right.
Try to do something.
And that you always have friends. You know, you've got people that are anxious to reach out and, you know, people talk about being lonely and I'm going, "Wow, are they going to Relay Society?"
Right. Yeah.
There's somebody there that cares about them greatly.
They do.
Yeah.
They really do. Okay, well, thanks, Susan. I suppose I'll give us another rendition of this song. Guys, we're getting really close to the end here. We have, what, 2 more episodes? So starting to get a little nervous and sad, and we'll miss you guys. We'll have to see, you know, we don't know yet what we'll do after this comes out. It'll be a little bit after we finish recording before we start releasing it.
If they like it, let's pick it up where we left off.
Yeah, if you like it.
Let us know.
Yeah, let us know and tell your friends, I guess. Okay, here we go. Got to turn on my little button. Found the right key.
"As to my sister I cheerfully run, live lifting her up to thee. I know thou lovest her with thy true love. I know thou lovest me. Father, thou knowest I try with my might more like thyself to be. True in thy service and pure in thy sight, I know thou lovest with thy true love. I know thou lovest me.
All right. That was it. Guys, thanks for being here as always. Susan, thank you again. And
thanks, Clayton. It's always a pleasure.
And that's all I have to say. Any last words, Susan?
No, we think you're great. Thanks for hanging in with us, and hope you've enjoyed learning more about the history of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, guys.
Me.